WVOX. Good afternoon, everyone. You are listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report on WVOX AM 1460 and heard around the world on WVOX.com. This is Jack McGuirk along with Ken Kratzer bringing you this half hour of discussion of issues related to veterans and the active military. Now here's Ken.
Hey, thanks, Jack, and good afternoon, everyone listening to the Sons of the American Legion radio report. And we're going to have a very interesting show. We've got a call coming in from Washington. We're going to talk to the Army starting quarterback, Trent Steelman, who has a spring game on Friday. And we're going to talk to two of the best ROTC cadets in the country from the University of Scranton on the second segment of the show. But to start off, we're going to talk to the chairman of the U.S. House of Congress Veterans Affairs Committee, Jeff Miller. Congressman, are you there?
I can. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much. It's great to talk with you. And you're a great friend of veterans, chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. You also serve on the House Armed Services Committee. You represent the first district down in Florida, the Panhandle District of Pensacola, which has got some huge military presence there in Pensacola with the Navy Training Flight Center and then with the Air Force Base, Eglin Air Force Base. We just really want to start by thanking you for all your help with our project at Arlington this past year, which now honors Jewish chaplains because of the monument that you're a committee approved and Congress approved for us, and we just want to thank you for that.
Well, it wouldn't have happened without the help of a lot of folks, including yourself. I just was glad to be able to play a small part of it, and it's not very often that somebody can put a permanent mark, as you and all those that supported the monument had, in a very special place like Arlington on Chaplain's Hill.
Well, we certainly appreciate the help of your committee approving the legislation to go to the floor of the House of Representatives, where it was approved on the Monday before Memorial Day last year. Thank you also to Congressman Joe Wilson, whose committee also approved it, and of course, Senator Patty Murray in the Senate and Senator Schumer, who helped us get it approved. But this is the first year with all of the four chaplain ceremonies that it could be said that all four of the four chaplains lost heroically in the Dorchester are honored at Arlington National Cemetery. So we thank you.
Well, you bet. It was an honor and just something that was long overdue, and it just took a lot of good people working hard.
Well, Congressman, while we're talking about Arlington, we had a chance to visit when we had the dedication with the new executive director, Catherine Condon, who's been doing a great job in fixing some of the issues that were found at Arlington with record keeping, with burial procedures, and a number of other issues that were of great distress to the veterans community. Do you feel like Arlington is now on its road to recovery?
I think so. I am impressed with the new leadership out at Arlington, and I think it's clear that, you know, although there still remains a lot to be done, that they have turned a corner out there. I think it was a multitude of years that just piled up on top of them, and certainly by paper record keeping, which is the way most cemeteries have done it in the past. It was very, very difficult, but now the things that they're doing, identifying all of the graves, trying to match, make sure all the headstones were in the right place, but there were some missteps. You know, what a lot of folks don't know is that actually the Department of Veterans Affairs does not have jurisdiction. It's actually the Department of the Army. And although after all of the issues arose, VA actually took over the training of all of the supervisors that were out there so that they would have the same training that you see at all of our other national cemeteries around the country. But certainly you don't expect issues to arise like they did out at Arlington, but I think the Army and VA worked together to make some resolutions, I think, that are acceptable to everybody.
Well, it's certainly a great step forward. Certainly the VA, which runs over 100 national cemeteries, has got a great reservoir of experience in managing large cemeteries. Now, one of the questions that's come up, obviously, the federal budget and budgets that may need to be cut in the military is a big topic in Washington and around the country. And one of the issues that came up that you pointed out in one of your hearings in February is this thought that there could be a forced reduction of VA budgeting in this effort to try to balance and the federal budget. Could you mention it? Is this still a possibility of happening?
Well, I wish I could say definitively that it wasn't, but I cannot get an answer from anybody. And when we first passed the bill regarding the debt ceiling and how to resolve the issue last year, you know, there was an assurance made to me that veterans' benefits and health care would be boxed off and would not be subject to what we call sequestration. I have subsequently tried now probably 7 months, almost eight, to get an answer from the administration as to whether or not they believe that, that veterans' health care is, in fact, subject to sequestration. They won't give me an answer. I have also asked the Office of Management and Budget. I've asked the White House to help resolve the matter. I can't get a resolution, so what I've done basically is to introduce legislation that, just in case, to correct it, there's a conflict in the law. In one part of the law, it says that veterans' benefits and health care are exempt, and then in another part, they are not exempt, and so mine just basically clarifies it. And unfortunately, what's going to happen if it's ruled that they are subject to it is there'll be a 2% across-the-board cut. That's a lot of money when we're talking about a 4%, a little over 4.5% increase on discretionary spending, which in these budget times is pretty good. Now, there's about an 8% increase in mandatory spending, but you cut 2% out, and you're taking a big bite out of some of the money that's been added to veterans' health care this year. We don't need to do that. The veterans don't need to have to experience that, and I've made the comment that, you know, unfortunately, the veterans are being left twisting in the wind until this is resolved.
Well, certainly an important issue that that veterans, those who have served our country, especially our recent veterans, are not subject to funding cuts on the health services and other benefits that they really need. One of the things that came up, although the 2013 Department of Veteran Affairs budget is recommended for a budget increase, there has been a concern certainly from the American Legion and also the VFW about the budget for major and minor construction projects. They thought that that budget should be increased so that, I know they pointed to 35 construction projects around the country that could be completed on time. Is that something that you view as something that, that could be addressed?
Well, it should be. And let me tell you that VA does have a lot of new construction and renovation projects for older facilities underway right now. I've been using our district work weeks for the last several months to visit sites, including Las Vegas, which is going to have a brand new large medical facility open up. Then I've been in Orlando in the past several months. They've got a new facility that has great potential, but unfortunately it's snagged with a conflict between VA and the contractor. The $600 million project that was supposed to be a two-year project, now it looks like it's going to be at least a five-year project before it gets over with and done with. But what I'm not impressed, it really is the way that VA is running the large-scale projects because of the delays. They're coming in over budget, and there are concerns from local communities like Orlando, for example. And I think that there is a lot of money being left on the table that could be used for other projects that have been discussed by both the Legion, VFW, DAV, and others, because there are projects out there that should be coming in under budget early, and they're not. They're always costing more money. So what we've done is we have several things that are going to be taking place in the Committee of Oversight and Investigation, looking at congressionally authorized facility leases as well as the issue of major and minor construction. The money, I think, is probably there if it's used appropriately, but unfortunately, we're finding where VA is shifting and moving money without authorization from Congress, from project to project, and unfortunately, it's not, in our opinion, serving the veterans the way that they need to be.
And Congressman, we just have a couple of minutes left. We're talking to Congressman Jeff Miller, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee. And one of the great successes the last couple of years are how many veterans are going to school on the new GI Bill plan. A number I have is 550. 5,000 in 2011. Congressman, can you stay with us or do you have to go?
I can hold with you.
Okay, great. We'll have you hold us after the break, and we'll talk about that that important benefit for veterans for just a second. This is Ken Kratzer on the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report here on WVOX 1460 and WVOX.com.
This is the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report on WVOX AM 1460. Joining us on the line is Congressman Jeff Miller of Florida, the chairman of the U.S. House Veterans Affairs Committee. And now here's Ken.
Hey, thanks, Jack, and good afternoon, everyone listening to the Sons of the American Legion Radio Report. And we do have the pleasure of talking to Congressman Jeff Miller. And Congressman, just before the break, I mentioned the terrific success that the new GI Bill plan is having approximately 550,000 veterans in 2011 going to school, building their future off this program. What are you hearing about it?
Well, certainly the older GI Bill version, the Montgomery GI Bill, and then the post 9/11 bill, and then the expansion that we actually were able to do last year, the Vow to Hire Heroes Act, is helping to get our veterans to work quicker. Unfortunately, we're above the national average when it comes to veteran unemployment right now. We've been conducting field hearings, especially for those in the Guard and Reserve who are often left to fend for themselves when they return home, actually to find out where the trigger points are. And too often, there's a lack of coordination, I think, between the federal, the state, and the local agencies, and we've got to figure out a way to change that dynamic. You know, you've got a lot of returning vets that are trained to do specific jobs. Unfortunately, they've got to go to school for a year or two in order to get the certification to go to work. They shouldn't have to wait that long. They should be able to go right to work. I mean, our younger veterans that are out there today that have served in Iraq and Afghanistan deserve an opportunity to have a job. But we've also got 35 to 65-year-old veterans out there that are having to retrain to re-enter the workforce today. So we've got it coming from both ends when it comes to veteran unemployment.
And Congressman, just a final question. One of the issues we've been following for a couple of years is the backlog of claims at the Department of Veterans Affairs for benefits. And one of the keys to that is the project that's been ongoing to transfer data from the Department of Defense, the actual soldiers, sailors, airmen's medical records digitally to the VA so that the claims adjudication process can be handled more quickly. Do you see progress happening on that?
You know, I would say that there is minimal progress out there. I won't say there's none. I think the number is well over 800,000 claims backlogged right now. I don't know if the particular reason is because of the complexity of the claim, the number of people that are filing new claims. We're going through the process now, our committee, to try to determine the root cause of it. I'll tell you that a lot of organizations like the Legion, the DAV, and VFW, and many others give countless numbers of hours to the veterans to help them fill out their claims forms. But until we get that fully integrated electronic medical record, I don't think it's going to be resolved to anybody's satisfaction. And the one thing that has to be done is a breakdown in the barrier between VA and DOD, because their software programs will not talk to each other, and unfortunately, they both think they've got the best. I think VA actually has the best program. A lot of the doctors out there right now will tell you, even DOD doctors will tell you off the record, VA has the best software. We just need to probably go ahead and mandate that it gets done.
Hey, Congressman, I know you have to run, but I just want to thank you so much for all you do to take care of our veterans and our active military, and for your help with our project to build the Jewish Chaplains Monument, which now stands proudly in Section 2 of Arlington National Cemetery. And your help was tremendous on that project.
Hey, Ken, it's great to visit with you. Thank you very much.
Look forward to doing it again. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that is Congressman Jeff Miller, the chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, and great guy, very helpful on as on our project last year to build the Jewish Chaplains Monument at Arlington, and doing a great job taking care of veterans through his committee overseeing Veterans Affairs for the U.S. House of Representatives.